Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tadaima Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpanito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Cepeda.
Irashamase.
And Colin Smarling.
Hello, everybody. Hope you and yours are doing well.
In this week's episode, we're going to talk about episode 22 of Tokyo 2019-2020, Tip-Off. That's a basketball thing, right?
It is. They had a tip-off this week.
Neither can confirm nor deny. New.
Yeah. But before we dive into the episode, I just want to let you know that we're all running a contest where you have a chance to win a pretty awesome prize. Colin, do you want to tell the folks at home about that?
Yes. So if you go on iTunes and leave us a nice written review, you will be entered in for a chance to win Apple AirPod Pros. I had to think about it for a second. Or an Amazon gift card of equal value. So if you could go leave us that and then let us know via DM or email, whichever suits your fancy, that with your username too as well, that you entered in, left us a review, then you will be entered in to win those AirPods.
Heck yeah. If you're thinking about it, just do it now. Don't even think about it. Go log in. Right.
Yeah. I want to add too that we will be announcing a deadline very soon. So there is some time, but not a lot of time. So if you're, like I said, what Robert said, if you're thinking about it, just go and do it and get in there. Yeah. Appreciate everyone that's entered so far.
Do it.
Yeah. We're not Nike, but just make it happen. Just make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Just complete the task.
Make it hey, so.
You guys hear that? You guys hear that? It's the sound of us being demonetized.
Oh, no. Nike, sorry.
Nike's going to come after us.
Big Nike, big shoe is on us.
Oh, no.
Another thing, too, stick with us toward the end here, because we've got a fun tournament that we're going to be running. If you want to find out more details, you'll hear about it at the end. It's a lot of fun, and we're pretty excited about it. But let's dive in to episode 22, Tip Off. We open up, of course, with the panel, as always. They recap the last episode, and they all have the sentiment of it's so nice to see the girls band together to root for one of the girls trying to get a guy. You know, they're rooting for Hana. That ends up being false in this episode, as we find out. But it was nice while it lasted. Last week, you know?
For a whole episode.
Yeah, just one whole episode. We dive into the house itself. We're on the first floor with Ryo and Hana. And then Haruka comes down later. And Hana plans to make some ratatouille with some salt-based broth, some shio ratatouille, which Ryo doesn't know about. I'm surprised that he spent all that time in America and never heard about the hit 2007 Pixar film.
Thank you.
Ratatouille, starring Patton Oswalt.
I was waiting with bated breath for someone to just bring up the movie. I was like, someone's going to say it, right? Is someone going to say it? No one's going to say it.
Ratatouille, the movie.
Little Chef.
You know? Like, I totally know that, like, this is, like, an ancient dish that's been around for a very long time. And yet, every time I hear Ratatouille, I'm just like, oh, like, Remy from the Pixar movie.
I mean, I didn't know what the hell Ratatouille was before the movie. Actually, I kind of still couldn't explain to you what Ratatouille is off the top of my head, if I'm being honest.
Well, now you can, because they made it on Terrace House. This is the only language we understand.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not quite sure if that is Ratatouille, because I thought Ratatouille was like thinly shaved vegetables stacked on top of each other like a little house.
I think we're all confused. Nobody knows what Ratatouille is anymore.
We're even more confused now than before.
It's the Pixar movie.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
They just shoved a Blu-ray in there, and
and that's flavor.
Yep. Throw some salt on it, it'd be fine.
Yeah. So to shop for ingredients, Haruka passes the torch on to Ryo and is like, "Hey, Ryo, you know where the store is. Why don't you show Hana the way?"
So Haruka really teed up Hana there. It was nice to see, because it's like such a shift in strategy, as we know of Haruka. Usually she's butting in and getting in the way. Now she's enabling this. So I guess somewhere along the lines, Haruka didn't ever really have interest in Ryo, or if she did, it was very quickly fading, you know, because clearly if she was in, she's the only girl not in him in this house. And clearly if she was doing that, she probably wouldn't have, tried to get in the way. Maybe when they actually had lunch or brunch, Remember that? Maybe that's where she was like, ah, this isn't going to be anything.
Yeah.
Gotta wonder.
I think, so you remember, I think this was like episode 11, 12, 13, around there. Jack, I think you made the joke about how this that episode was the Kenny make good edit mm-hmm. for that episode, where mm-hmm. it made Kenny look really good before he left. I feel like this episode's the same thing, but for Haruka.
Yeah, I was actually about to throw that out there and say that if you didn't, Robert. Yeah, because we see an actual quite a bit of, I don't know if it represents her arc, her the end of her arc. She actually made progress as a person in the house. I mean, a lot of this episode is spent saying like, hey, look, Haruka's changed, which is a little jarring.
I think is your pronunciation of her name going to change? Haruka? While she's here? Yeah. I don't even want to say it. It's just funny. Every time you say it, though, it's like, he said it again. Haruka.
I'm sorry, okay? It's my Midwestern accent.
Is my weed? All right, gotcha.
Don't you know? But I think that she definitely feels like she's changed and for the better at that, which is great. That's what you want to get out of Terrace House, but that's toward the end here. We'll get into that.
Yeah. So the next scene happens in Shinanoya, World Wine and Food, I believe was the name of this little grocery store, where Ryo and Hana just, yeah, it's a cute little not date. You know, they shop domestic around for veggies. Bliss. Yeah. They like chicken.
Yeah, I don't know. Very mundane conversation about various food items, really. Not a whole lot of like deep conversation happening here.
Yeah.
Ryo picked up the whole bill too.
He did 51,000 yen, I believe.
What a guy.
I don't know. I did like his response here where she was like, oh, I'll pay you back when I have some change. And he's like, sure, if I remember, which is totally code for
don't worry about it.
No. Don't pay me back.
He's good at that.
Wait, yeah. Does that so he spent around $500 on groceries?
Think so.
51,000?
Yeah.
You take 20 off when it comes to yen.
Yeah.
Essentially to convert it.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah, so it'd be like $510.
No way. What?
Yeah, it might have been like 5,100 yen.
I was gonna say, I was like, holy shit.
No, yeah, they didn't have caviar or anything there.
Yeah.
They didn't have
chicken's very expensive.
Chicken.
Very expensive.
Any kind of meat, really. You're other than fish, you're really a lot of the budget has to go toward that if you want a meaty dish.
Yeah. Right. Whereas here in America, fish is the expensive one in some ways. And then they get back from the store. It's the first floor again. And this is where they make the ratatouille, right? And I don't know. It's like this cute little cooking party moment. You know, just the kind of things we don't get as often as we should in Terrace House where they're having fun. Ryo opens up the rice cooker a little early and it's super watery. But they make it work, you know?
How did that happen? They bought the pre-washed rice, right? I would think that all you have to do is heat it up, not like put it in a rice cooker, right? Do they add water to it and put it in a rice cooker? I just wonder how rice gets that watery.
Brown rice is hard. Brown rice is harder to estimate like how much water it needs as opposed to white rice, I've found in my experience. I always either make it too crunchy or too soggy in my rice maker as opposed to like my white rice, which is always like I can just eyeball it and it usually ends up fine. So I'm guessing that's what happened. But it was interesting to see how much like Hana was like, I want brown rice, brown rice, brown rice. Brown and then at the store, she almost forgot it before they left.
You know, shout out to Zojirushi, my rice cooker in my kitchen right now. They have a line for the water level for white rice and brown rice. So they kind of take the guesswork out of it. Appreciate you, Zojirushi.
Fine brand. My cuckoo only does just the white rice, but it cooks brown rice too. Just doesn't have the measurements.
It's great. You just throw the white rice in, then you forget about it. Forget about it.
Yeah, if I had to guess, this is either a case of too much water or not enough cook time. Like Ryo opened it too early, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's my leading theories on this rice case. But then, you know, they eat the ratatouille, the little soup with the rice in it. And I don't know about you guys. So you know how by the end of this, Ryo seems to really like the dish. He's like, oh, I want seconds, right? Like the panelists comment on that. But when I watched him take that first bite, it's like he flinched had this look of disgust.
I think it was hot.
It's still good.
I think he just burned himself, maybe. That's what it seemed like. But he's like, man, I want seconds. And I guess the watery rice worked out because they said it was like a risotto, which I'm sorry if this is controversial, but I've had risotto multiple times. I've never said, God, I love this risotto. I've always said, get this risotto out of my face. I'm not a risotto fan. I'm not like a creamy rice guy. Not really.
I like you risotto.
Had good.
Yeah, yeah, I've never had a good risotto. I'm open to it. I've just the half dozen times I've had it. I've had
risotto maybe like once or twice in my entire life.
My risotto.
Yeah. So I also wanted to ask about in the same scene where Hannah apologizes to Dio for like being informal with him or too formal or something like that. She makes some sort of language mistake. And could you shed some light on that?
So the counter word she was using is also like Rio. So it sounded like she just straight up was just like, hey, Rio, like, how much do you want? And without any like honorific at the end. And she's usually either been like, I'm not sure if she's still saying Rio-san or like Rio-kun, but it's just like super, it's weird to hear like people's names without honorifics sometimes, like especially when you're used to it. So I think she was like, oh, I didn't mean to just like call you out.
Yeah. Gotcha. It's the kind of thing that could really only happen in cultures with languages that have honorifics like that.
I guess that word sounds similar to the word for amount, is what was said on the show. So,
interesting. Yeah. Well, I've heard Rio like used in reference to currency, like this is 10,000 Rio.
Yeah, like the amount, the total, or whatever.
The old school, like you know, the thing that nerd time. The thing that's on Meowth's forehead, that's a Rio
from Pokemon.
That's what currency used to be, yeah, from Pokemon. So
so language nerd time, if Japanese is anything like Korean, there are different words for the types of things you can count.
Yes,
like if you're counting people, it's one word. If you're counting money, well, money's currency. If you're counting like the number of like how many chocolates you want, it's a whole nother word, right? Is Japanese the same way?
Yeah.
Yes. Like there is a special counter just for cylindrical objects, if I recall right.
What the hell?
Yeah. Which includes beer bottles, which confuses me to no end. It's like, how cylindrical are we talking? You don't know. There's counters for flat objects. There's counters for small objects. There's counters for animals. There's counters for larger animals.
Welcome to why Japanese like is hard to learn.
I'm dizzy. Can we go drink beers with Pepe? And the anime artists.
Hey, boys.
Let's go to this hip, cool place called 12, all lowercase, but without the E, and it's a period at the end. That's cool. It's hip, man. No, dope. But it's in Nishiazabu, and Pepe's there, and at first I wrote, oh, cool, Pepe's out with, like, his manga friends. And then the name tags pop up, and I'm like, oh, fuck, that's Inio Asano. Like, that's a dude I know from reading.
So these are, like,
stuff.
big names, right? They were saying they're some of the most famous manga artists.
Yeah,
right. Definitely.
Yeah, Inio Asano, he's the one I recognize more. Shohei Manabe, I believe he's been in the industry for a long time. I've never read any of his work. But with Asano, I know, Colin, you're in the middle of reading Oyasumi Punpun right now, right?
Right. Yeah, I actually just started Oyasumi Punpun, and I love Solanin. I've also read Girl on the Shore. I've read a lot of his stuff, and I like his style a ton.
Ooh.
I am sorry, but I am not familiar with Shohei Manabe either. I don't know if any of you guys know any of his work. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Sorry.
And I also gave my copy. I gave my copy of Solanin to Daily to read. So.
I just finished it yesterday.
Oh, can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Daily, hold up that book again. Tell everyone what you're holding up.
Solanin.
Solanin. His Asano Sensei's manga.
Beautiful.
It's very good.
It's sold
I like
a lot
his style.
Too.
It's funny but deep is the way I'd describe it. But it was just it's always just cool to see like mangaka hanging out, because I'm so used to just imagining them like in their studios, like chained to a desk, like unable to leave because they have deadlines.
Yeah, somebody's going to be screaming at us though during this episode, be like, Shohei Manabe made this and I can't believe you didn't know about it.
I'm not saying anything right now, if you've noticed. What I will comment on though is how posh this club is, or bar, or whatever. Like, the drinks look good. I love the low lighting. I'm a big fan of low lighting. You hated it? I would love to go drink into a place like this rather than a big loud sports bar or something like that. This is way more my style.
Upscale.
I loved it. I don't know. It was, and Pepe was, I mean, what great company he's in. You know, what a great opportunity this is for him. I thought going into their conversation, more importantly, what they had some really good points and advice for Pepe when they were saying, people know you. Man, this really hit home with me. They said, people know you outside of your work. They know you from Terrace House. They know you from modeling. They already have preconceived notions of who you are before they ever read your manga. And so though it might be good at getting people to read maybe your first one, your skills as a manga artist are really going to be tested to keep their attention. And the reason why that rung so true to me was because we brought it up in passing like a couple weeks back. But someone was kind enough to post his first manga in our Discord. So I got, and it was translated, so I got to read it. And sad to say, I like Pepe. I really do. There's nothing about him I don't like, but I don't like his manga. I wouldn't read it regularly, you know? So it's like, it was so real when they were saying that to me. Like, yeah, I'm one of those. I'm one of the ones that read it just because I don't read manga regularly, you know, admittedly, but I read it because it was Pepe's, but I'm not going to stick. I'm definitely going to bounce off it. So that's going to be a challenge for him. And I'm glad at least that they tell him that at this early phase, because it is relevant.
Yeah, I think you commonly find that with a lot of people who are in the limelight. Like, I mean, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, they have books. I've never read them, nor do I have any interest in it, but I love their work in sitcoms. You know, I think it's just like sometimes the medium doesn't transfer, you know, like the same feeling you get from the thing you've known them the most in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, but you'd have to think, though, being on the show is at least going to help him out a little bit with how many people actually do read his stuff.
You got to cast a wide net. I agree with that. Yeah. Totally. You know, you got to get your name out there. But it is going to be a challenge because other manga artists, it seems like, got famous from their manga. So that's part of their brand, where I think for the foreseeable future, Pepe is going to be, it's going to be like inextricable, right? To separate him from Terrace House and from his modeling. That's where people kind of know him as. So they might not take him seriously as a manga artist, unfortunately, for that reason. Mm.
I was surprised to see that, like, his editor actually had, like, a mock-up of, like, what the premiere issue of the magazine that he's going to be serialized is in. And it straight up said, like, it used the Terrace House logo. It was like, oh, the manga is in Terrace House. And it's like, I'm wondering if that's more... like, is that a good thing for his career as a mangaka, or is that going to ultimately be a detriment in that he's just pinned as the niche, like, oh, he's the guy that was in Terrace House?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like when a band, right, like say like the singer breaks away from the band to do like a solo thing and he goes on tour and it says insert guy's name here from a band, this big band that
my favorite
knows.
Band.
Yeah, this bigger band. And everyone's like, okay, who the fuck is that? Because maybe they don't have like themselves established enough really outside of the band to really have much of a career.
Yeah, I mean, that those kind of examples are one in a million, right? Like Sting, right? He was successful beyond his band, but that's not the case with everyone. I think with this, I hope it's a Lauren Tsai situation where her exposure from Terrace House ends up, I mean, that got her on like full-fledged TV. I mean, it was FX, but I mean, that's still TV, right? And I believe she's working on like a Netflix sitcom or movie or something with Amy Poehler.
Yep.
Dang girl.
So yeah, I mean, that opened a lot of doors for her. And I hope it's similar for Pepe, where his time on Terrace House doesn't just render him that as, oh, that Terrace House mangaka, but as cool, he's that guy. Let's give him some opportunities. Let's let him show off his stuff.
Yeah, and at least he also has modeling fall back on right now. He said that's what's paying the rent, you know. So it is his dream, and now is his make it or break it moment, as Haruka put it, you know, to make it as a manga artist. So he's putting his whole ass into it, right? He's sacrificing so much for his manga. So I hope that he succeeds. But again, like, at least he does have that luxury of falling back on modeling. Now, it was cool for us in the scene to see his reaction when he first saw the cover. Right. And he's like, oh, when I see it in stores, I'm going to cry. Definitely. And then some of the other manga artists were like, yeah, when I saw mine for the first time, I bought multiple copies, which of course you would. I remember when I had my first big high profile interview published in a college newspaper and they printed it out, physical copies. I was like, oh, these are free. I'm just going to take like five of these or so just to save it. It was really cool to see like a big article you work on with full color images and stuff. So I've been there too. It's a really neat feeling. And a few of us other in, on the show have had that too. But the one guy said, listen, that's going to fade away pretty quickly under the pressure of deadlines. And it's like, that's true. So enjoy it when you can, while you can.
Yeah. Like, I've only read one of Asano's works. He's the one who brought Pepe down like immediately. And I've only read Girl on the Shore, which admittedly I didn't like that much. But it gave me this vibe of like, okay, Asano really likes the shitty, sad, dark, broken part of humanity and just likes to put that on display. That's the vibe I got from him. Mm-hmm. And this scene totally nailed that because, you know, Pepe's like, yeah, I can't wait to get my manga. And then he's like, yeah, that's cool, man. That motivation's gonna fade. You're gonna fucking hate it, man. It's deadlines. And then they later talk about like, oh, his time in Terrace House. Like, oh, you found someone. You know, do you like them? Do you think they like you back? And Pepe's like, I don't know. As I find it hard to read Japanese people sometimes. And the only thing Asano says to that is, man, the best stories are the ones with heartbreak, huh? It's like, dude, yeah, what the fuck, man?
They're really taking him down. They're really taking him down a peg, aren't they? They're like, yeah. Not really encouraging him at all. But it's kind of true too that it makes for good stories.
Gosh. And it's interesting too because any of Asano's works, he was never like the shonen manga where it's like chapter after chapter, week after week after week. He was more so like he's done a lot of graphic novels, like one and done, and just put that out there. So that's probably going to be a little bit different from Pepe's, where he is putting out chapter by chapter in a serialized magazine.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think it was just cool. We saw real mangaka on the show.
Definitely.
Are you saying that Pepe's not a real mangaka?
I know. That's so rough, guys.
Dude, one chapter in. Like, compare him to Inio Asano. That's a name people know.
That's true. That's true. I am very curious as to where exactly his story goes, because from the first chapter, I'm like, it's mostly the art style that's putting me off. And I know that a lot of people are into that art style, though, because it is heavily inspired from... You'll have to forgive me for forgetting the other artist's name, but from that person that made a very popular manga, which I can also
Ping Pong?
Yeah.
Yeah, popular. I forget that guy's name too.
Yeah, yeah, but it's very heavily inspired from his art, and so I get it, but right now I need to see more. I need to see more before the proof of concept is there for me.
My bar is very low for who is a true mangaka. If you have one of those really expensive, thick tablets and you're drawing on it, mangaka, boom, done.
Yeah, you're done. That's what makes you a mangaka
to me.
So barrier of entry is about $3,000.
That's a lot of money. That's a pretty big barrier, I think. If you're that serious about it, though, yeah. But I'll give him the moniker for me.
Fair enough. And then the Shitro rolls in. Still hate it.
Shitro.
Then we get to the first floor where Haruka and Emmy are. Well, Haruka's making a soup. She calls Emmy down, help peel them, right? Help peel the eggs.
Peel them eggs.
To go into the soup.
So many eggs.
So 10 eggs in a soup. Like, what? No, anyway, no. They talk a little bit about the boys, and this is where Emmy reveals, well, you know, Ryo's kind of easy to talk to. I think I'm the most attracted to him. If I had to pick and objectify the men in the house, it'd be him.
Ruka is what is the takeaway here. It's Ruka gone Ruka. What happens to him often, I'm willing to assume, is happening again. It's repeating, right? History's repeating here that she doesn't think of him as a masculine man, and he's more of a little brother role, and so therefore they're only going to be friends, even though she thought that they might be something more. This has happened before. Be my boyfriend. Ah.
Yeah. I'm glad we got the clarification, though, this time around, because I know we dedicated a lot of time during the last episode to kind of ruminate on whether or not, like, wait a minute, you're talking about Ruka, right? That you're saying all these positive things about Ruka, the same Ruka who showed you his scary art, etc. Like, Ruka. Yeah. And it's like, so she it really is like a little brother kind of like friend point of view that she has of him, when clearly she's more attracted to Ryo, which just makes sense.
I'm glad you brought that up because we revisit the Hellscape this week and I can't wait to get there.
The Hellscape.
The Hellscape. At this point, I just picture Ruka outside on a step somewhere with in the pouring rain and the cold with his head down.
Oh.
That's Ow. kind of a lot of his life on the show.
Yeah. Guys.
But then Haruka, she talks about her love situation, I guess, in the house. And she says, yeah, Pepe seems like a cool guy, but I just can't imagine. I don't see him as a man, or he hasn't done anything manly. I can't imagine making out with him, etc.
Yeah. Okay. This is a big plot point here, I think, in all of Haruka's arc. And I knew it was bad news with the first line that came out of Haruka's mouth. Okay. So just first, real quick, when Emmy is talking about Ruka, even when she's talking about Ryo, there's a very interesting way they go about introducing those topics. When it comes to Haruka talking about Pepe, the first line she says is what, guys? He's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
That is not, I'm sorry, but guys, if that's the first line that comes out of a girl's mouth when she's talking about you to other girls, not a great sign. Even though she said you're a great guy, that is definitely not, at least for romance, it's not, it just wouldn't go, it wasn't going in a good direction. It's not going in a good direction.
What's the ideal?
There's
line,
no ideal. It's just like, it's just not a good sign. I mean, when they put some thought behind it. So I think an ideal would be where they take a minute, ponder it, and then come out with something more along the lines of what Emika was saying when she's talking about Ryo. But when someone goes, he's a great guy, that's for romance. That to me already was like, oh, she don't like him. She don't like him.
Yeah. Well, because it's usually because he's a great guy is followed up with, but or Kendall in this case.
Right. It's fine to say someone's a great guy. It's just what I mean is when it comes out so quickly out of Haruka's mouth as the first line. I mean, she's already made, to me, it signifies she's already made the decision that he's not going to be a romantic prospect. And she has good reasons to justify it, too. It's kind of tragic because they really get along and he likes her a lot. And her reasons for not wanting to get involved with him are kind of like she thinks he has his best interest in mind because he's so busy with his work and so head down with it. So it's kind of tragic.
Yeah, I don't want to say I told you so, but like I think I called it from the beginning. I was like, I don't know how he's going to function as like a social Terrace House member and also do the mangaka like weekly serialization thing, because that's just work. You don't have time for a social life.
Right.
He's going to hire assistants, but that can only do so much.
Yeah, he's not emotionally available. You know, is the main
more or less
problem here, because it's not his time for that. It's his time for his career. And damn it, he came to Terrace House for his career.
Mm. And it's such a shame, too, because they do go well together. Right. We see that in this scene where Pepe comes home and all three of them eat dinner together. Right. They have that Odin that Haruka has been making. And there's just this cute interaction where Pepe tries to pick something up with the chopsticks and fails, does it again, fails again.
Do you want a fork?
Do you want a fucking fork, you damn foreigner?
That was the exact translation. We saw that in the subtitles and everything.
Yeah. Dang. And it was just this cute little back and forth. Like, no, I got this.
It was so condescending.
He's like, I'm just going to stab it. Don't worry.
Yeah, he does the whole like two-prong stabbing motion. Like, I'm going to stab my food and eat it. Eat the dakimasu.
And to Yama's point, too, that's not the way she would act to somebody she's romantically interested in. She wouldn't do that to Kenny. She didn't do it to Kenny.
She's like already got the
totally
disconnect there now that before, she said it aloud.
Yeah, but well, even I think even before she had the conversation with Emika, that's why it came out so fast. He's a great guy, because she's already kind of put him in that box, unfortunately, for him.
Yeah. We cut to the next scene here. We're at Funabashi Arena, where some basketball happens in front of Emi and Hana. Ryo plays. I don't know. It was cool. It was... You know, it was basketball. He does a three-pointer.
You are so downplaying this. This was fucking awesome.
I was like, whoa.
He is really good. He's a point guard. He's kind of like calling the shots on the field. He's kind of the general of his team. Yeah, he's captain. Also, who knew he was such a big star? I when he said that, oh, I have a lot of work to do before I get the Olympics, I kind of was like, oh, maybe he's not that big a deal. After watching this, though, he's absolutely a leader. He's a star. He's got pictures of himself, like multiple pictures on a t-shirt. He has his own merch. He's on the posters. He's like the face to the team. He really is, you know? So I think he's got, just from at least watching this one episode, I think he has a pretty good shot of getting to the Olympics here because he's better than he let on to be.
Mm. Yeah, and he was like just racing down the court, throwing threes, fucking doing layups, like just
fast breaks. Scoring, dude, like, he's good.
He was getting after it, even though they end up losing, which is a damn shame. But
71, he had a positive attitude about it, though. What, Robert?
It was 76-71. Yeah, they lost to the Kawasaki Brave Thunders.
Fairly close, but I mean, wow! Like, talk about also. That has got to be just sinking the hook on the love strings of both those girls watching him. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow. They were both kind of falling in love there. And they're both just gushing and talking about, oh, he's so cool. He's so hot. Like, it's just only making both of them like him even more. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it was definitely like a starstruck moment, especially like he has his own t-shirt and all like the pictures, I think, on the t-shirt are like very like action shots. Very cool. Except I must point out.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for this.
Yeah. Yep. So exactly, so their team is the B Corsairs, right? And that's Corsairs, like a ship, like an old timey ship, like with sails and everything, like pirate-esque. But they got him like cosplaying as like a pirate
Jack
captain
Sparrow.
Something.
He's like
full-blown
Jack Sparrow. Shit.
He's got the guns. He's got like the musket guns, whatever they're called, like,
and
in an
like,
X across his
like
chest.
He's like trying to be like serious, and it's like, I'm not expecting like basketball teams to cosplay as the thing that they're named after.
He's not supposed to be the mascot. Like, you don't see Michael Jordan dress up as a bull.
The Lakers
he's like Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball.
Would basketball be better if they did?
Shit.
No.
Maybe
no,
you're right.
No. It was pretty comical. He had that do-rag on his head. Man, it was. At first, I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? It took me a while to figure out what
it was. I think I'd be more interested in basketball if this was a round played between a bunch of pirates and some dudes dressed up in like yellow spandex running really fast because they're Thunder.
I think your idea of basketball is skewed, Robert.
But would you watch it? Jack, would you want to watch it?
I wouldn't watch a bunch of yellow dudes in spandex running around. Probably not.
You wouldn't like competitive Quidditch then, because there is one yellow dude running around.
Don't stick the internet snitch on me, but I barely know what Quidditch is, but that's another story.
You've
for now.
You brought
time.
This on yourself.
Oh, man.
You've sealed your coffin, my friend.
Release the YouTube comments.
I'm more a Lord of the Rings guy.
Oh, it was in Lord of the Rings too. I think they played Quidditch.
Oh, right, yeah, that famous scene.
Yeah, I think they mentioned it in the Silmarillion.
They had horses.
You know, Frodo was like,
yeah, he threw the ring into the Quidditch and scored all the points
into the
into the. And Gandalf was
into
like 10 points
hole
to Gryffindor.
I put the ring in the Quidditch hole.
Is there a door? Throw it into the Quidditch. Is there a door?
Y'all nerds.
Yeah, I want that movie. I want Captain Rio Jack Sparrow Tawatari. I want that as a movie.
What if he put on that outfit and took selfies with Hana in her wrestling outfit, her cyber goth?
Oh, yeah. Like, what if he Make comes downstairs? She comes downstairs, like, here's my outfit. And he's like, oh, let me go get mine. And everyone's like,
let me go get mine.
They let me even after the photo shoot.
Guys. Hana and Ryo become such good friends that Ryo ends up in a wrestling match with Hana dressed as a pirate.
I'm here.
That'd
for
be
it.
The perfect interference.
Could you imagine? You see Ryo like coming down and he's got his arms up and he jumps in and he's got flintlock pistols on his.
To go back to the game real quick. Amika is like, I'll take plenty of pictures. And then Hana's like, make sure you use the strongest zoom. Like, oh my gosh. They are smitten. They are smitten. And I think that this is fair to assume, too. This is like the top league in Japan. I mean, this ain't no amateur game. This is like, they had a huge crowd, very good production values. Like, this is a big, big deal. And I like his chances to get in the Olympics better after watching this.
Yeah. You know, and in terms of production, I am curious how much of that footage was filmed by the Terrace House crew members and how much of it was maybe just filmed just like as that's just part of what they do.
Yeah, some of it looked like broadcast. Some of those angles for sure.
I don't know. That'd be kind of cool to find out. But yeah, I mean, long story short here, Rio is definitely very good at his basketball thing. I know I'm not good enough to understand how good
his
he is, but I know he's good.
Basketball project.
I know he's good. I know he's good. I just can't explain to you why he's good.
Because the ball went in the hole. That's all we need to know.
It went into the Quidditch.
Not enough.
That's what they call it in basketball.
Not enough, though, because they lost.
He caught the snitch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Is there a snitch in basketball?
Do they get stitches?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway.
Robert and Jack beat me to it.
So we go to the next scene. It's the first floor. Everyone's there except Rio, and they're all talking about how cool Rio's game was.
It was.
Emmy shows off her shirt. Yo. The one with all of Rio's beautiful faces on it.
His signature.
And
on it.
She tells everyone about this text conversation she had with Rio about, oh, I'm just going to wear your shirt every day until you get back from camp.
Dude.
And it's like, that's the first jab right there. That's the brag heard around the world.
And we also, I think she already stated that she's worried she's texting him too much online. Remember that first sticker he sent, the famous one with the baseball hitting that bear in the face. Mm-hmm. But they are very active in speaking with each other. I mean, it is hard to deny there is a strong attraction here that's only become stronger after this game. And she's wearing his shirt every day. He's not there. How do you not think, oh, I could totally date her whenever I want?
I think he is totally thinking it, because then his reply, wasn't it like, oh, like, I'll treat you to dinner? Because he was like, wait, did I give you a shirt? And it's like, no, I bought it with my own money. And he's like, oh, no, then I need to like treat you to dinner or something like that, right?
I'm sorry, but how are they not smashing right now? They are smashing right now.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Mentally.
They're bumping ugly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They're already to the point where they need to spice it up in the bedroom. They do some pirate cosplay and he needs to find the booty.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can
like
almost
a pirate and show me that booty. You ever hear that song?
I'm very disappointed.
I think we can already definitively say that Hannah has already pretty much missed her window.
You think? Like, nah, you think?
I think, man, her window is getting real small real quick. Like,
they haven't gone on a date yet. Give them one date.
That's fair. You're right, but it's things ain't looking good for her with Rio.
Give him a counter date. Yeah, if she can't even look him in the eyes, like, she's gonna have to step up, right? She's gonna have to step up in a big way, because though I don't think she's beat to the punch yet, she is way behind, right? Emika's got a big head start on her.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That's the only thing I really see like working against Hannah at this point. I think she and Emika are on like decently even playing fields when it comes to like being friends / girlfriends with Rio, but it's just that she can't handle herself, that she gets so shy, because otherwise I think they would have great conversations about athleticism and their different jobs, the same way that, you know, Rio and Emika have had interesting conversations about baseball and stuff.
It comes down to experience. Emika is very experienced in relationships, very experienced dating older men. Let's not forget, you know, she's got a sensuality, as we keep saying, with the hip hop moment, which is proving again to absolutely been a pivotal scene
for the
season so far. That hip hop is the moment. Well, but on the other side of the spectrum here, Hannah, very inexperienced, incredibly inexperienced. You know, it seems like almost Ruka levels of inexperience, where she just thinks two people talking together for more than 5 minutes means they're dating. So it's like, it's going to be rough. But man, what a damn shame it would be. My last point here, Robert, my damn shame it would be if we had this beautiful scene last week where the girls are bonding, they're buying loungewear, pajamas, etc. They're all getting along. And then they let a dude get in between the chemistry and maybe they get into some kind of petty fight. I don't know what happens, but I can see the slow car wreck here, you know, in slow motion here. But what a damn shame that would be.
I'm so glad you used the word fight. I'd like to remind everyone here that Hannah is a wrestler.
Yes.
Wrestling is synonymous with fight. Right?
She would crack her in half. Yeah.
Or breaking backs, that too. I mean, I guess much like Mick Foley when he fell off the Hell in a Cell, but
heck in a sec.
what I think here is going to happen. I'm on board right now with the MUDO train. That's the ship I'm willing to board right now, because this is a very classic heel versus babyface moment. As you all know, Hana plays a really good heel. And if you ever watch wrestling, the good stories are when the heel loses.
Dude.
I don't think this is going to happen for her. I think she's a little too inexperienced, which is fine. Like, you don't have to be super experienced, right? But when you're up against someone who is, who knows how to use her hips, to know how to ask, do you want beer? To know how to, I'm going to wear your shirt every day you're not home so I remember you. Or you'll always be with me, right? Like, that's a really tall task. Yeah. That's like Rey Mysterio versus Big Show.
Robert, are you just throwing out stuff now?
Here, guys, I have a question for the table, okay? I hate to put this evil out there on my beautiful Terrace House show, but if this intensifies, if this gets worse, do we see this coming to blows, perhaps, between the women?
I don't think it'll be like punches or anything like that.
We're not going to have a girl fight, too.
I am terrified. Yeah. I'm terrified.
An argument.
I don't see a big fight happening. I see some tears, maybe. But I don't feel like the way I've gotten to know Hana so far, I don't feel like she would be like, you stole him from me. I feel like she would be honest with herself and be like, you know, I didn't get to know him as fast as you did. And I kind of missed out. And now I'm sad.
I can see definitely a argument, a disagreement, definitely tears, definitely anger. I can see some shouting, but we'll see. I don't know. I just got bad vibes about where this is going, because Emika's throwing those jabs right at the table. Like, oh, this is our phone conversation. Oh, I'm going to wear this every day. Like, oh, he's taking me out to dinner. It's just like, keep poking the lion, man. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I think the way the scene progresses, right, where we're in, like, it cuts to the evening now where it's Haruka, Hana, and Pepe just chilling at the table. Pepe's, of course, slaving away. Again, illustrating he's too busy to hang out with Haruka, right? But he's still there. But Haruka and Hana talk. And Haruka tries to throw this idea of like, hey, let's go check out his spring training. Like, we can just drop in and say hi. Mm-hmm. And Hana's just not really taking it. Like, she's a little too, like, she's obviously very envious, right, of the way Emmy was bragging about the text conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think that right there is a window into how Hana's going to deal with this, in that she isn't. I don't think she's going to throw hands or even talk to Emmy about this. I think this is just going to be her bottling it up, getting it all out in the ring, and just moving on with her life.
Feel bad whoever's got that match with her.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Hopefully no illegal punches.
Man, we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. I don't have a good feeling about where this is going, I guess.
Yeah, same. So then after this scene, we cut to the panel, where I think, you know, they have a lot of similar thoughts that we do here about the whole Emmy versus Hana situation. But something that I think Yama points out that I kind of want to gauge you guys' opinion on is he thinks Haruka often gets to a point where she's too maternal with the guys she's interested in that she can't date them. I don't know. I felt skeptical about it, but like, Colin, did you have a thought?
Yeah. So after seeing Haruka's stint with all the boys she's talked to and gone on dates with throughout this show so far, like, she definitely, like, she goes out with these guys and then she eventually hits a wall, or at least pretty quickly, where she just can't break through it. I don't know if it's like, she just never comes across as like really flirtatious or anything like that, right? It never seems to, like, even though she may like this guy, it never seems to go on into dating territory rather than just like talking as friends. You know what I'm saying? So I think maybe maternal is the word for it. Like, maybe just the way she treats them comes across that way, but it just doesn't come across as like, hey, I'm talking to you with an intention to date you.
I have two thoughts here. So first thought is, what happened with her and Ryo? I thought it ended on a positive note. He talked about doing her hair. He talked about them going out again. And it's clear by the end of this episode, she has no feelings for him whatsoever. It kind of is, you know, we're speculating a lot on what's happening off camera. But I mean, if you're just taking the show at face value, it's kind of out of the blue and unexplained. You know, that sloppy editing that always rears its head and terrorists. It's like, I have no idea why they're not talking about dating anymore. We've never been shown any reason why. So that's my first question. My second thing with her is that she has, I think, the pool of potential guys that she can date is smaller because of, unfortunately, the amount of guys that for their own insecurity get intimidated, for lack of a better word, by her, how good she is at golfing, how good she is at racing. You know, a lot of guys can't handle that, you know, and it seems like she didn't get very maternal with Kenny, you know, but Kenny never showed interest. Kenny was looking at elsewhere, you know, but she is definitely, I think, putting Pepe in to a category in her head where it's just, it's not going to go anywhere romantic. And I think she's doing it again, like I said earlier, out of like respect for him and his work, because she knows he's not emotionally available and she might need that, of course.
Yeah, I did not like the use of the word. Like, maternal is definitely not the sense that I got from Marika. Ever
have I gotten a maternal. That might not be a good translation, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I think that there are a lot of times that she winds up thinking of herself as older than she is, and thus, like, almost infantilizing some of the guys. Like, she's like, oh, like he's working on this right now and that's his like priority, or like Ruka's got things to figure out. Like, I feel like she feels like she's in a different phase of her life than a lot of the guys that she winds up meeting on Terrace House.
Yeah. Do you think that leads to her being self-defeating in a sense?
Yeah. I don't think she keeps herself open. I don't think she opens herself up whatsoever to the possibility. I think she shuts that down pretty quickly.
I think the tough part of it too is that she said it herself, and it's been proven time and again on the show, that she has a lot of friends who are older men, like 50s, 60s older, you know. And when you hang out with that level of maturity, like, at that point, I mean, you know, again, we're generalizing here, but when you hit that point in your life, you think differently. You have a little bit more wisdom from your experiences of the past 50, 60 years, right? Compared to a 26-year-old who basically just started his dream career. You know, when you compare those two points in life, it's kind of easy to infantilize someone, because it's like, oh, compared to all my friends who already own their restaurants or own their garage or whatever, right? Like, they're not as accomplished. But I will say, I don't think maternal is a good word to describe it, because I think out of anyone in the house she's been that way to, it was probably Ruka, and that is most illustrated in these next two scenes.
Yeah,
right?
She's showing that. I don't know what the word is, but maybe it is maternal, maybe it's not, but like when she's like condescending to Pepe about the chopstick issue, it's just like, would you like a fork, young lad? You know, it's like, it's just condescending, you know.
Yeah,
it's not disrespectful, but it's just kind of, you know, like just chiding him. And not, and it wasn't a flirty way either. You know, that was the difference there. You can joke with people flirty, but she wasn't flirting with him when she did that, I don't think.
I do love here that this is a pretty good transition that the show has set up. I feel like the editor set this up. And this is maybe, we talk a lot about how the editors are bad, but this is maybe the one of the times where it's good. Where Yama, there's this whole part in the panel where Yama says, any scene with Ruka is dull. You know, there's that cute shot of Tori where she's like really angry, but like, cracks a smile, but then goes back and like, wait, no, I'm angry, right?
Sorry, can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
I almost completely forgot about this scene where, like, the panel, like, Tori gets pissed at Yama.
I feel like she was playing around.
Yeah,
A joke. No. Tori gets pissed. You can look at her, dude. She has genuine anger in her eyes. She's crying.
I'm looking at her right now. She's not crying.
She's an actress.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. But it was really convincing to me. The way she like looked at him when Yama was talking about Ruka and like speaking ill on him. Like, she looked at him and was like, tears in her eyes. Was like, damn. All right. She's like upset.
Well,
like,
we're all going to be crying about Ruka here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Because it's just funny, right? Because Yama's portraying this point of every scene with Ruka is dull. And then the next scene is just Ruka. And oh man, is this scene anything but dull? I mean, it's very tense. It's very uncomfortable, maybe.
Very. My heart.
So he sits in the playroom. He looks a little bit sad. And it's like, why are you sad? And then you hear the TV. And you see that he's watching the most recent episode of Terrace House for him, episode 16, Orange Flavor Kiss, First Kiss.
The hellscape.
Where he sees himself talking about, and this is outer space, and this is the puppeteer, right?
Oh, no, no.
And I looked then at it gets, your name, and my name's in your name. And
it gets worse, though, because it's not just that he's reliving those moments he was in, but he's now seeing the moments of other people talk about him, where this is where Cowdy makes a cameo, and she's like, wow, that's cute, but also he's like already in love with you. Look at all these hearts next to your name. And it's like, oh, no.
Can I just say, the cringe was palpable here. It was so uncomfortable. I had to like hug myself and guard myself. I was like, this is so brutal to watch because he can tell for the first time he's stepping outside of himself and seeing himself in third person on the show, how people react. And he doesn't like it either, which is at least a good sign, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be way more disturbing if he was like sitting there with his arms crossed, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's right.
These people don't understand my heart.
Yeah. You know, if he was agreeing with everything, that would be very disturbing. But he can tell here that he made a oof.
Yeah, this is, gosh, one of the very few times where I'm like, oh no, Ruka. I was like, I felt like, I'm like, and this might have needed to happen, but at the same time, in the moment, I was just like, oh no, like, his innocence just kind of died a little bit. Like, but I'm glad that he took it in stride and he's like, you know, I didn't like what I saw at all. And I'm like, you know, at the same time, I'm super happy to hear that because that means he is making progress as a person, you know?
It was almost made me more worried though, the way that he talked about it with Haruka, and he was like, sometimes I don't even know what I'm saying. And it's like, what do you mean you don't know what you're saying? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Does he just like start bluffing in the moment? And he's like, oh, this is a shitty drawing, but like, I'm going to pretend that it's deep. Like, is that what's happening? Because I think we've always taken him at face value that he like genuinely believes these things, but maybe he's trying to seem cool? ?
Yeah, nice. So Haruka here, we're talking about maternal. She definitely got maternal here. You know, she definitely was encouraging him, but like supporting him, like being like, yeah, you know, you have a lot to learn. You're growing in this house. You know, we're in this together. It was a tender moment, I thought, you know, between the two of them with this talk. I liked it. Yeah, and I thought, yeah, she was there to help him and guide him too, but also she knows how silly he's been and his antics. I don't know. I feel better about Ruka after that conversation. I'm not more worried about him daily because this stands in such stark contrast to where Yudai was. And like we're always going to compare him to Yudai. And Yudai's like the dark, dark, bad side of the coin. If you make all the wrong decisions and take away all the wrong lessons, Ruka here, at least, you know, is part of why we're all disliking him less is because he's taking a good approach to what he's learning about himself in his time on the show.
Yeah, it's like this is his redemption arc. He's finally learning, right? I mean, he has been slowly learning, but this was like a really big step. I do agree with Daly, though, in that I am worried about that line where he's like, I don't even know what I'm saying sometimes.
I mean, he's like immature. He's 20.
Yeah, but I mean, you would, if he put... Like, because when we first saw the drawing scene, we were laughing at it, right? Because we thought he put in so much thought and effort into the story. Like, this drawing was a masterpiece to him. That was the vibe I got. It was like, you know, there was a story behind it, right? This was something that could be, like, concept art for a whole TV show in his mind. But then to hear that all of that came from something he doesn't remember.
Well, he doesn't even know where he was going. Thing. Yeah. He was nervous, I think, because he's talking to a girl. I think he's just, a lot of it was about trying to impress Emika, honestly. Yeah. And I can put myself in his shoes. I remember what it's like to be 20, young, dumb, just don't know anything, but you feel like you know everything at the time. And if you put up, you know, footage or a recording of me doing or saying something when I'm 20, and if I watch it now, I'm sure I'd be like, what the fuck was I thinking? That is so dumb. You know, I could see myself there. So I'm not that worried about him. I'm more encouraged that hopefully he's going to grow. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a long process. Make no mistakes. But I root him on. I cheer him on. And I guess he did get that gig at the Marvel bar. That's what you were saying.
Yeah, they did. But yeah, they didn't. Well, they just kind of said that he got it.
I don't think they. Well, they said it, but then someone else corrected him and was like, "Oh, he's still trying for it. Like we don't know." Oh, yet.
Okay, I don't know.
What is he doing?
What is this guy doing? Yeah.
So I think what this means for Ruka now is that he's in that space where like he's aware of what he's doing, and now he's going to be wrestling with himself. He's going to be wading through a lot of insecurity, I think. I think he's going to, I mean, he honestly, this might be leading to a little bit of a depression. I think Haruka gave some Yikes. Really salient advice. But I think we see Ruka, I think this might lead to him becoming very quiet around the house.
He's fading into the background already, you know, because the two guys are so prolific.
Yeah. We didn't see him until halfway through this episode.
Right.
You know, and he is kind of fading into the background because I think he is just kind of quietly trying to learn and just build himself up as a person. And I think this is like shattering for him. But at the same time, the way he picks up the pieces is going to determine where he goes in life, I think, from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I only hope the best. Like, we've given him a lot of shit in the past 20 episodes, right?
Deservedly. He deserved it.
He deserves it. But I think this is just a good illustration of the difference between binge watching and week by week watching like we do. Because week by week, it was excruciating. It was like I had to sit here and wait for a week to see what stupid shit Ruka does next. But when you binge it, that stupid shit might feel a little shorter, right? Like a little like, oh, that happened so long ago because now he's at this part where he's redeemed himself a little bit, you know? So I don't know. I think that's... I just hope Ruka learns from this.
Yeah, not, I mean, I'm rooting for him now. Like, I really am. I'm rooting for him.
He is, and he will learn, I think. Yeah, I have positive prospects for him.
Yeah, he has a willingness to learn. That's the important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for him.
What I like in this scene, too, is that we see Haruka, when she's being maternal, she isn't just saying, like, oh, yeah, you, Ruka, you alone are the only person in the house learning things, like, because you're stupid and young. It's like, no, that's not what she says. What she says is... Yes, you may be a little more behind than some of us, but we're all still learning stuff too. You know, everyone is still figuring out life. Like, you can be 80 years old and still not have figured out life because that's just the way life is. You know, I just like that she took that approach instead of making him feel like the worst one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was much needed, and I think she handled it very well, and I think it's exactly what he needed to hear at that point.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a little hint at her whole thing, right? Because her whole monologue at the end is very similar where she feels like she's learning too, right? Mm-hmm. But before we get there, let's talk about that scene where it's the first floor. Ryo, Ruka, Haruka, and Emmy are just chilling at the dining table and Pepe walks in. And this is another classic banter of Ryo and Pepe like, oh, hey, did you just move in? Oh, are you a basketball player? Oh, no, I'm just here for tonight. I heard that an Italian was making pasta tonight. And I was like, you know, it's
cute.
I'm liking their banter. It's very bro-y. Pepe makes some pasta. And he teaches... this is funny, right? Because he teaches Haruka at the kitchen, like, oh, this is what sofrito is. This is, like, the important part of pasta. But then it's juxtaposed with at the living room or the dining room table where Ryo and Emmy are, like, playing with Pepe's glasses. Ryo's, like, taking a picture of her. He takes, like, 20 pictures of her. You know, it's just, like, here are the two prospective couples in the house... being together at the same time.
Man, if I could tell you how many times this has happened to me where someone looks at my glasses and they're like, how blind are you? And then they want me to like take them off and they want to like look through them. And I'm like, don't, you will regret that. And it happens without fail all the time. So this is happening to Pepe here.
You're so fucking blind, bro.
Do you know? And I'm like, yes, I fucking know. I'm probably legally blind without my glasses. Like when I get my hair cut, I'm so blind that I don't even... give the barber my glasses to hold like they usually do. Like I want to hold them in my hand because heaven forbid an emergency happen, I need to put my glasses right away or I won't know what the hell's going on. You know what I mean? Mm. Won't even be able to find the door.
Who would have thought that Who would have thought that if somebody without a prescription puts on your prescription and they can't see out of them? That's like, it's such a dumb observation. Yeah. When people are like, you're so blind.
You know, Jack, I love that you prepare for your barber appointments as if like the world could die at any moment. I've got to be ready. But for me, I treat it like I'm going to put my glasses on the counter and it's going to be a surprise. I'm going to not know what my hair is doing for the next 30 minutes. And then when I put my glasses on, it'll be like a loot box.
And like, always, it is like that. It's like a, it's like, all right, I got to like kind of, I can't see what they're doing. And like, they're like, how do you like it? I'm like, I don't know. Put on my glasses. Let me see the mirror. Okay. Looks pretty good, you know? So it is it is a loot box, though. It is a roll of the dice. I always get nervous when someone new cuts my hair because Pacific Islander hair is very, my hair in anyways, is very straight, just kind of goes straight out the sides, like Mr. Potato Head almost with the Play-Doh hair. But, yeah, it's hard to find a good barber. There are some good ones in Austin, though.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but I thought it was cute when they were taking the selfies there. She still got a shirt on. Still wearing that shirt.
Still wearing that shirt. I mean, Pepe even points it out, right? He's like, are you seriously going to keep wearing that shirt whenever he's not around? And then she pauses and pauses and pauses.
Yes.
Mm. Yep.
Yep. Mm. Man, you haven't washed that shirt in like a week.
Mm.
I don't care.
And like I said, I know I brought it up before, but Rio's got to be just like, we could just make out whenever, you know, he's like sealed the deal pretty much. Like, I mean, she's acting like such a groupie, you know, it's just like, wow. But I don't think she's, I think there's still like a mutual respect there. They really get along. They really have a lot of chemistry, I think, with their personalities, which is really just adds on to the physical attraction they have together.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you can tell he's pretty happy because, you know, there's the last shot in the scene is him like patting his belly, so fucking content. And you know, it's not because of the pasta. And he's like, I couldn't be happier.
He's snacking on all this attention.
Yeah. He's fucking on cloud nine, man. He knows what he's doing.
He's on it. Yeah.
So let's get on the home stretch to the end of this episode, because basically the rest of this episode is the Haruka Pepe special, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they hop into the Corvette. Haruka wants to take him down to Shizuoka. You know, they have a little bit of like, oh, do you have the time? And he's like, yeah, I specifically worked on all my manga so I could have this day free for you so you could reject me, kind of.
Yeah. He worked so hard. And man, and he brought it up, right? Like, this is my prize for putting it in for a week and a half or however long it was. This is my day. Like, damn.
Yeah, it's kind of sad when you look at it in that context, but the date itself is fun. I Google Mapsed it. That drive is 2 hours and 18 minutes one way. So that was nearly 5 hours on the road.
Damn.
Just the two of them.
It is a lot.
Although, I mean, I guess in a Corvette, maybe like an hour, you know, if you go like 120, 130 miles.
She opened it up at some point there because he was like, whoa.
He's like, my stomach.
I can feel it. You're like, yeah.
That hat she's wearing during their date, too, I don't know what's called a beret or beret or whatever. I always think of Paris when I see that kind of hat. Do you think she, I don't know, do you think, I forgot, I was getting Italy and France mixed up now. Never mind.
He's Italian. Wow. Jack, he's not French.
I don't have anything. It's Europe. Okay, thank you. Forgive me, Paris. Forgive me.
Yeah, he likes pizza baguettes.
But I love the date. I have been looking forward to her taking someone out in her Corvette. And she, with that V8 engine, man, she's gunning it. She's dropping the hammer and he's like feeling the G-forces. And I love his reactions in that ride.
He's like, V8 engine? It has a V8 engine? What? Oh my God.
Those two-seater, like, you know, like Ford or Dodge Challengers, Ford Mustangs, Chevy Corvettes, those two-seater American muscle cars are the absolute perfect road trip cars. Absolutely. As someone who's done that before, it's so awesome. It's definitely expensive and definitely not fuel economical, but man, it is fun to do at least once in your life.
Unless you're the person that's stuck in the back behind the seats.
You don't sit anyone back there. Yeah, you barely put your purse back there.
Yeah, that's where you put your clothes and shit.
If you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trunks are not that big in those either, yeah.
Yeah, you just fit like three bags of beef jerky back there. That's your snack for the road.
That's all you get.
Sustenance.
But yeah, they drive for like 2.5 hours and they end up in Suzono, Shizuoka, where Haruka takes him to this place called Soba Place Koijite. And it's one of her favorite soba places because
why is that?
Because she used to go here a lot.
Oh,
with her ex.
Oh, not a good thing to lead off with.
Okay, but
I got words too.
But listen, it was a really, really nice soba place. It's the traditional. It's you're really sitting nice. Down on the tatami mat. It's like an old house. It has like the old hearth over there and really nice decorations and probably a good view of the lake. I'm not a big believer in like I need to abandon this place because I used to go to it with someone that I'm no longer liking or with. Mm. So maybe it's just that good that she was like, oh, I don't want to leave it behind. And then got into the awkward, like, oh, how'd you know about this place? It's like, oh, well, you know.
So then question for the table, what's worse? Opening the conversation with, I used to go here a lot with my ex, or saving that information for, you know, later.
I don't feel there's any pressure to disclose either. Like, I used to come here a lot with people that I still come here a lot with my friends. You know, it doesn't have to be like tied to the ex. I mean, that's just like maybe an overshare. I mean, also, like, when you date someone and you stop dating for whatever reason, that doesn't mean that you should stop enjoying the things that you enjoy. You know, there's a lot of things like things. Oh, I used to drink that wine, or oh, I used to eat this dish when I hung out with my ex. Doesn't mean you should stop just because you're not dating anymore. But
yeah,
I think it's a first date. Maybe don't pick somewhere that is so tied to your heart, to your ex, as this restaurant is to Haruka on a first date. Right. Well, but she also tends it isn't their first. Oh, that's right. They did the Pokemon thing. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So fair play. So maybe now's not bad timing for this, but also I think she went into this whole thing knowing that she's going to tell him what she's going to tell him, that she's thinking about leaving. And this isn't really a dato for her. This is just friends hanging out. She's showing off her car. She's going to her favorite restaurant.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where if you live in like a geographic location, right, and you start dating in that area, like if you've dated quite a few people or a number of people while you're still living in the same area, I mean, there's going to be overlap in the spots that you're going to want to go, right? Mm. So you have the spots you like, the places that you like to share with others. And the thing is, you kind of just got to do your best to detach the memories of maybe like a hurtful breakup or something like that with those places, because like you said, Jack, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to enjoy them, especially with someone else.
Okay, but counterpoint, she did drive him 2.5 hours away to this place. This isn't an overlap stomping grounds kind of a situation.
Yeah,
here.
She had to, it was a very purposeful, like, damn, this, what was it, soba they got? It had to have been really soba. Fucking good. You know, but maybe she just wanted to treat him. And also, like I said, driving for a long time in those cars, it doesn't feel like, oh, God, get me out of this car. It's like, oh, shit, I wish this trip was longer in this kind of car. So, you know, maybe that was definitely a big part of the experience, especially if they're spending 5 hours. You know, round trip and that thing. But yeah, what the tough gig for Pepe is in a tough situation here. He works so hard, putting all these hours drawing. His hands got to be cramped up, you know, and he's going out with the girl that likes Pokemon. They even have that moment like, oh, I've got a Pokemon phone cover too. And it's just like, he's in it to win it, man. That he's got his eye on her, that he raised his hand because he has a crush on her. He wants this to progress. And she's like already eyeing the door.
Should have said something sooner. Should have said something sooner before she was like, she just has assigned him under the too busy category. As much as she likes him, he's too busy.
You just have to wonder here because, you know, as we've discussed previously, like Haruka had feelings for Kenny. He was kind of the one for her that got away, maybe, you know, but he was very passive, right? That's the word we use to describe Kenny. He wouldn't let his feelings be known. Maybe Pepe is not doing such a good job at being mysterious, and maybe Haruka is kind of bored with that because she knows that she can date him whenever she wants to. Only speculation here. It's still sad either way. We did predict this though a couple weeks back that Haruka might be the next one to leave. And Terrace House, I don't think, at least the ones on international Netflix, as we keep saying with that caveat, I don't think anyone's ever said, yeah, I'm going to leave, and then didn't leave, and then like changed their mind and stayed for any appreciable amount of time, right? Yeah. When they say they leave, they're thinking about leaving, that means they're fucking leaving. And that's the end, right? It's like pretty cut and dry right there.
Yeah, and but notice though that she, even though she's leaving, she doesn't really give a hard timeline though either. She's like end of this month, maybe beginning of next month.
Right, it was a little gray area.
But but she herself said like, hey, I'm not 100% sure exactly like what day, but I think I'm leaving soon.
But if I recall the timeline correctly, it's already like the 20th, I think. So it's like time is ticking down.
It's
not super like 2 or 3 weeks at most.
Yeah, she's definitely gone. She's not going to stay around for Pepe.
Yeah. Something I do want to say here is this is the payoff for these 22 episodes with Haruka, right? Where she's learning. Right. She's learned about herself. She's learned a lot about herself, and she's gotten into fights because she can be a little selfish sometimes where she works only for herself. But I love this because she doesn't just say, you know, oh, I'm a better person now, but it's more like I'm on the road to being a better person. I've learned things, but I'm not perfect yet. Mm-hmm. But I want to take these lessons I've learned in Terrace House and apply them to the real world, because Terrace House is kind of a bubble, you know. And that, I don't know, it made me happy. Like, Haruka's never been my favorite person in the house, but I've always generally liked her. And it's just a nice kind of energy to leave the house with. Not that she's gone yet, but it's a good, I'm announcing I'm leaving speech, you know?
Yeah.
Haruka.
Haruka.
Her arc was something, man. She never worked. She worked for her, she made money for her hobbies. Mm-hmm. Which is the dream, so I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, and so when we finish up at the Sobo place, and then we go to the lake, and then they're walking, and you could definitely tell it's like uncomfortable.
Yeah,
because he wants to tell her, he wants to confess. He didn't expect to hear this news. Expect to hear this. Now he's like pressured, like, oh fuck, I better say something.
Yeah, he's definitely feeling pressured, and it feels like they're kind of
his jacket. Very chivalrous.
Yeah. They're trying to make small talk. You're sitting, and then they're sit down by the lake, and he's like, I'll give you my jacket because I know it's cold. But then here's the thing that I noticed, though, like about this scene. I think Haruka like was trying extremely, extremely hard not to look at the camera, because I think the camera was kind of in her face in this scene.
You got to wonder where the camera is with that scene, because it shows the front of them. But like when it shows the back of them looking forward, it's just all water. So is there like some boat like really far away?
No, it's like some guy scrambling back and forth.
Yeah, where's the camera here? It's strange. I don't know.
No, yeah. I mean, I think they were just struggling to make small talk. They're like, yeah, this camera's in my face. And I'm like, I don't know what to say.
You know, this scene made me like them as a couple more. I think they look good together. I think a lot of it makes sense. But it's just where they're at in their lives, as Daly was bringing up earlier. You know, Haruka, whether it's true or perceived, she feels she's way further in her life because of the, you know, the company she keeps typically. And as to Robert's point earlier, you know, Pepe's just now getting kicked off. This is literally the make it or break it moment. And so, like I said, I think the ultimate takeaway here is that Haruka wants to leave because she doesn't see anything happening with the other guys for whatever reason. We don't even know what happened with Rio, but she also is telling herself she has Pepe, and maybe she does, she has Pepe's best interest in mind here, that he doesn't have time for a relationship. He's emotionally unavailable. Okay. His schedule's crazy. It's not going to improve. It's all right. We can all agree. Even the mangaka's earlier at the bar, like, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. Oh, yeah. Get used to it. So how can anyone look at Pepe as a serious prospect with that being the case? Unfortunately.
Yeah. If you're going to be dating someone like him, it's going to be, you're kind of more of in a supportive role, right? Rather than a give and take necessarily.
That's what Kenny wanted. He wanted a wife in the background to cheer him on.
Yeah. And not that I'm saying Pepe wants that same thing, but I think just based on how much he has to work, you know, there are just times where they can't go on that nice date because, sorry, honey, I've got that chapter's due, you know? Like, that's a reality of probably dating a mangaka, right? One thing I did want to say, though, about Haruka and Ryo, I don't know. I don't think that's like a unanswered question necessarily. I just think Haruka, she seems to be in this point in her life where she's like, I need to move on from Terrace House. You know, I don't think, like, if Pepe's not going to hold her up, Ryo is definitely not going to hold her up either. You know, this is a personal Haruka decision.
Yes.
To move on.
Well, it's unanswered in the sense that it's a hanging thread. Like, you know, like they left it where, okay, we're going to go out again. And now she's like, well, I'm leaving. You know, similar to Kaori and Ruka's date that never happened. It's just a hanging thread. They never said, yeah, I don't think of you that way. You know, so there's no finality there. And there doesn't need to be.
With that, Cowdy did say, let's not go on a date. There is finality.
Until I meet you. Yeah, but until I get to know you better, right?
Yeah.
She wasn't saying never, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right. But nonetheless, you know, this scene ends with Pepe saying, you know, I'm honestly shocked, but before you leave, I want to take you out on a nice, very posh, very Italian cocktail bar date where we dress up to the nines and sip on Aperol and other Italian liquors.
That's exactly Gigi. How he said it. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. GG Pepe. I think this is where we're going to get Pepe's confession, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to try and throw a Hail Mary during this cocktail date. I wonder when we're going to see this. Maybe next episode, you think?
I hope so.
I mean,
want it.
Yeah.
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 I really wonder how this is leaving soon. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Our timeline must be ticking.
So my prediction is I think we're going to see the end of next episode and there might be this cocktail date.
I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I think we'll definitely see it next episode for sure. We'll see it before the end of part two. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's episode 24, the episode that people we keep hearing about.
We're not getting spoiled on it, though, so don't spoil us.
Yeah, do not spoil. I will say, guys, when we started watching this part, I would not have bet money on Ruka being the last of the original six in the house.
Mm-mm.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
He's got
not.
Nothing else going on. He has nothing to do. That's what Yama keeps saying. He's like, he loves it's so quaint when Ruka says, oh, I think I'm free. Like, bitch, you work fucking three, 4 hour shifts a week. Of course you're free. What else is going on?
Yeah, but I mean, he's making progress as a person. Like he showed in this episode.
It's slow going, but yeah, it's going.
It is. And he's fine.
Like I said, 2 weeks ago, he needs to either. Like to in order for it to stay relevant because he is fading in the background, he needs to either really ramp up improving and really make some great strides here after being in the house, what, 22 weeks, something like that, 23 weeks, or just, hey, man, you hit this is your arc. You're now, you know what you need to learn about yourself. Arrivederci.
Very Italian. Thank you.
Yes.
Arrivederci.
Yeah. So I think that wraps up our discussion here on episode 22 of Tokyo 2019-2020. I just want to make a quick shout out that we want to do a fun little tournament with you all here. We're calling it the Terrace House Deathmatch Panic. It's going to be a bracket that we're going to happen to do in March for no real reason. You know, just it coincides with the month of March
and for
where brackets happen.
It's for sanity, clear sanity.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes. The month of sanity, March.
Yes.
Yeah.
The same month.
There's a tournament going on where we have named 32... of our, is there a name for the 32, Jack? Like there's Sweet 16, but is there like a Thrifty 32?
I don't know.
A Thrifty 32.
If there is, I don't
fiscally
know.
Responsible.
What I can say to you is it is not the Thrifty 32.
The Thriving 32.
The Thriving.
We picked 32 members from Boys and Girls in the City, Opening New Doors, Aloha State, and up to this point in Tokyo 2019-2020. We've picked 32 of them that we want to see in fights. So what you can do is we'll put a link in the description. We'll put a link in our show notes. Check our social media everywhere that you can find us in text form. We will have a link there for you where you can vote on who you think would win in matches like Mizuki from BGITC versus Makoto.
Yikes.
The baseball boy.
His
the redemption.
His up and coming is up and coming.
Yeah, or this one I'm excited about personally, Armand versus Hana.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's going to
be a wrestler versus the guy who doesn't move his head while swimming.
He's got strong arms, though.
Yeah.
Or we also got Hikaru from BGITC versus Pepe.
Mm.
Construction versus Manga. Who wins?
Mm.
You can sound off your votes in the links down in the description. It'll be a lot of fun. It's just, you know. So it's a way for us to just enjoy our fandom of Terrace House.
The more of you guys that participate, the more fun this will be for everybody. We are not voting. We've abstained from voting. So we depend on you guys to tell us who's going to win this. It's all on you.
Yeah. And if you're really hardcore, like, oh, I'm Tsubasa Defense Force, I totally want Tsubasa to win. Ooh, yeah. And you have friends that are also Tsubasa fans, shoot them the link and just be like, hey, vote for
Get
Tsubasa.
Get them in there to vote. Right, yeah, there ain't
campaign
no requirements.
For Tsubasa.
Anyone with this link can vote. So pass it on.
Yes. Stuff the ballot with your friends.
Do it.
Is that a thing?
Just national pastime. No big deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And we hope that you enjoy. And next week we'll bring it down to 16 and then the week after 8 and so on and so forth until we find the winner of this bloodbath.
This sane death match.
This sane bracket that we happen to be doing in March for no real reason.
Q1 sane death match.
Yes. Sana.
This insane death match.
If you have any questions, comments, series, if you want to just get in touch with us, you can email us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. And if you enjoy the work we do here, it would mean so much to us if you checked out our Buy Me a Coffee link in the description below. Any bit of help is appreciated. But also, if you follow us on all the Instas and you talk to us on all the Discords, we appreciate all of your support.
We love coffee. Always do. We love coffee.
We love coffee, but we wouldn't get to where we are without your attention and your fandomness. Is that a word?
Thanks for listening, guys. Yeah.
Thank you so much. We will be back next Tuesday with episode 23 of Tokyo 2019-2020, Friendship Between Men and Women. I don't like the name already. This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itekimasu.
Let's be friends.
Follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at Tadaimapod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.